So we're in this series on the Holy Spirit. Been there a while. We'll take a break for the 100th anniversary, probably, but we'll, I don't know that we'll be done by then with that. And just looking at the Holy Spirit and the role he has in our lives, and Holy Spirit's always kind of controversial, a little bit of a mystery, not always that much in Scripture, although now that that's kind of been my focus, I'm amazed at how often Spirit shows up in Scripture, like 300 and some time, over 300 times in the New Testament, Spirit is mentioned there. So not the focus, not the biggest thing, but very important role. Last week we were kind of looking at some of what Galatians said. This week we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And going to kind of rush through that. If I were preaching this, I'd take 2-3 weeks to do that. But I just want to hit some highlights of how the Spirit shows up. And 1 Corinthians is very much the book probably where the Spirit is talked about the most. The gifts of the Spirit and all of that and how the Spirit should operate in the church. But laying some groundwork here in 1 Corinthians 2. So again, we're going to kind of skip some verses, go through that quickly. But with that then, and the encouragement that if you've got the time, that might be a good thing to do this week, is just to spend some time and really meditate through that chapter in Corinthians. A lot of good things there. And where we're kind of coming with this whole series is the realization that we can't accomplish anything without the Holy Spirit. He is the powerhouse. He's the dynamic that we need. We saw how the disciples, even after the resurrection, were always falling short, not understanding, until the Holy Spirit came and clothed them with the power and wisdom from on high, and then they became effective in their service. So the Holy Spirit is essential for us to live the Christian life, to be successful with that. Look, last week, he is freely given, gladly given by the Father, either with or after salvation. It's that comes first. There's the call to repent and turn our lives over to him, and then this Holy Spirit becomes available to us to dwell inside us, to empower us to live this life, the new life that God has just given us as we've been born again. And it's received by faith, just by believing. It's not something you earn. It's not something you deserve, anything like that. And I've got another preacher here. Little Raleigh and I get to be friends on Wednesday Bible study, so he's probably thinking, yeah, come and see me. That's glad to have him in church, glad to have the youngsters in church. With that, so just like our salvation is received by faith, by the promises of God and believing that, so is the Holy Spirit. And if it's by faith, that doesn't mean that it's just by feelings. The same with salvation, right? There are days when maybe you struggle, you don't feel like you're saved, but you still are. And the same with the Holy Spirit. If he's dwelling in you, there are maybe days when you don't feel like he's anywhere near you, and yet he is.
Amen.
And we can believe that and trust to God with those things. So we need the Holy Spirit. He's essential to live the Christian life that God has promised, to be the witnesses. But again, we've been talking about this. He is not the focus. He is not the goal. We don't so much seek the Holy Spirit as we seek the Lord. And that relationship with Jesus Christ is what opens the door for that. The Holy Spirit's job is not to draw attention to himself near as much as to draw attention to Jesus and what Jesus has done for that. So we see that right in the beginning of 1 Corinthians here. Verse 2, Paul makes this this claim. He says, "For I have determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Okay, that's the focus. That's the message that we have. Is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God came to us, didn't expect us to go to him. He came to us, lived on this earth, set the example for us, died for us, was crucified for us, paid the penalty for our sins, and then rose again, and is coming back someday. That is the gospel message. That's what saves us. That's what we hold on to. That's what we build our lives on. The faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ and the salvation that that brings us. That's the foundation that we build our lives on. And 1 Corinthians 3, I messed up on the verses, so which is pretty typical, but usually Chris can fake it for me. But anyways, 1 Corinthians 3, the next chapter says this: according to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each one must be careful how he builds on it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay, that's who we believe, that's our King, that's our Lord, that's who we follow, and everything extends off of that. Jesus is the one that came to remove the barrier of sin. He opens the door. He establishes the right relationship that we can be righteous, that the Holy Spirit then can come and dwell inside of us because we are made clean. We are forgiven. The penalty has been paid for our sins, and therefore now in that new state of his righteousness, the Holy Spirit can come and dwell in us. And again, this Holy Spirit is essential for living that Christian life. If you try to do it in your own strength and your own understanding, you're going to be frustrated. You're not going to be fruitful. It's just not going to work very well. Amen. Gives us that Holy Spirit to live in that victory. But now both of these are part of God's plan all along. Spirit enables us, the believer, to live that victorious life and to be that witness, to have that fellowship with God. And again, that's God's intention from the very beginning, was to have that fellowship with Him, that restored relationship with Him, where we can walk with God, where we can know God, and we can have that intimate relationship with Him. And first, our sins have to be forgiven. The barrier has to be taken out of the way. But then, just not to forgive our sins and leave us here in the mess of the world, but to transform us by the Holy Spirit, where we can live in communion with God and know Him and understand Him and walk in that relationship. So the beginning, the gospel message is always Jesus, His death and resurrection. And the gospel is simple. Any child can understand it. Christ died for your sins. Believe Him. Believe that. Receive that. And the forgiveness is yours. He's paid the price. It's offered as a gift. All that you have to do is receive it. A child can understand that. But there is more to the Christian life. There's more to the gospel. There's greater depths. It's a lifetime of growing. We'll never get to the end of that. We never leave that childlike faith, but we also don't stay there. You know, we just don't stay in kindergarten all our lives. Jesus loves me, this I know, all very true, all very real, but there's so much more to the relationship. There's so much more that God has for us as people, as a church, and the mission that we have in the world. So in 1 Corinthians 2:6, we see Paul, after laying that foundation, again, it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified that we build on. He says this: yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. There is more. There is a maturity that we're called to, not just staying in an immature, childlike a faith. He's called us to more. 1 Corinthians 2, or 1, back a chapter from here, says this: has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. God was pleased through the foolishness of the message to save those who believe. Salvation is only the beginning of this. It's not the end. It's not the only goal. He's calling us to a relationship with Him. He's calling to a life of an abundance, a life of adventure, a life of fullness and satisfaction that only He can give us. The prayer in, that we looked at a year or so ago going through Colossians in verse 1 emphasizes that again. It said that we may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. God's desire for us, the prayer here for the saints, is to know God's will, to know God's heart, what His plans, what His desires, the life that He wants to give you, the work that He has for you. That's the prayer, that's what God has for us, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Not the wisdom of the world, not the understanding, the ways of the world, but called to a higher level. And at the end of that prayer, then, increasing in the knowledge of God. We'll spend our lifetime getting to know Him. Just like we spend our lifetime getting to know each other, right? My kids and I, we're still growing in our relationship. They're understanding and still knowing me better as my life goes on and as they go on to maturity. Certainly husbands and wives, maybe been together 30, 40, 50 years, and you settle into that joy and that peace of that, but there's still more to learn. There's still always more to appreciate in those relationships. So it's the, let's do this verse 5, Hebrews 5, and again, I don't believe we have a slide for that. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. There's a real challenge there for you churchgoers. For by this time you ought to be teachers. You know, if you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, and some have the gift of teaching, some not. And I'm not saying everybody's got to be a Sunday school teacher. But everybody should have at this point in time, or at some point in time, leave a level of maturity where you have a role, where you have a job, a work to do in the body of Christ. And yet sometimes we just stay here again in the kindergarten state, and we need solid food for the mature. The spiritual understanding, knowing God. Not just the facts, not just the theories, but really knowing God. Having those experiences of having walked with Him. I like to say a lot of times, boy, I'm not the most scholarly person. There are people that know the Bible better than I do. There's certainly people that have a lot more education than I do. But the one thing I do think I know, at least to this point in my life, is I know who Jesus is. Because Jesus has been with me through the most difficult times of my life, the dark times of my life, through the great times of my life. Jesus has been there. When I've had no place else to turn, Jesus has been there and been faithful. Amen. He's taken care of me. And that just gives me that confidence of I might not know everything, but I know who does. I know where my hope lies. And it's not in me, and it's not in my education and training. It's the love that God pours out in my heart and the relationship that I can have with Him. So there is, with that, we're there, but there's, again, there's more to this. There's a depth of maturity there. To be Spirit-filled, to be guided by the Spirit, a life empowered by the Spirit. If we go on in chapter 2 of Corinthians here, he says this in verse 9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which not have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Amen. And you know, it's beyond what we can ask or imagine. God does that all the time. He surprises me. was better than I thought, better than I was hoping for. He can do that. And it's not not my understanding, not my vision and things like that. It's God's heart. And again, the prayer to know God's will, that He can do beyond what we can ask or imagine, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. We looked at, talk about that. John 16 talks about one of the things the Spirit does is to show us what's to come. And again, talking about that, we kind of said that's not foretelling the future, who's going to be the next president, or what the stock market is going to do, or all of those things maybe we would love to know. As much as knowing what is to come is beginning to know and realize all the good things that God has prepared for those who love Him. The future that we have, the hope that we have, the plans that He has, the inheritance that we have in Him, the power that we have in Him. So there's the heart of God, the things that He's preparing for us. So we go on, and the next verse is there. He goes on to explain that some more in 10 and 11 of 1 Corinthians 2. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among man knows the thoughts of a man except for the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. Right? The Spirit has all of God's resources. The Spirit is God. He knows God's wisdom. He knows God's plan. He knows God's bigger picture perspective and wants to reveal that to him. And the thought there in the middle, you know, do we really know what's ever in somebody else's heart? Do we really know what they're thinking? They can put on a smile in their face. They can have the right answers and that. And you don't know really what they're thinking. They could be planning to stab you in the back while they've got that smile on your face, right? Or they could be listening and nodding their head to you, and their thoughts could be 1,000 miles away. Right? We really don't know what's in each other's hearts. You get a little better picture of that when you go canoeing with them. But, and so that's what he's saying here, though. But the thoughts of God, the Spirit of God knows. And He's making that available to us. The next verse, the hope of this then, in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. The Spirit knows God's heart. He knows His will. He knows the plan, knows the future. And we have received that Spirit, that we may know all the things freely given to us by God. The gifts that He wants to give us, the things that He wants to show us, the things that He wants to teach us. And wow, again, freely given. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. You don't have to work harder at it. He's just saying, please, please take this. I want to bless you with these things. I want to show you these things. What does He freely give us? He gives us salvation. He gives us holiness, the sanctification. You are holy because I am holy. It's not something you earn. It's not something that you live up to. It's a gift that He gives you. You can be holy because God makes you holy. He gives you power. Talks about the power of an indestructible life. He gives us the wisdom. He gives us the understanding. Right, James 1, if you lack wisdom, ask of God and He'll give it to you generously, when without reproach. Oh, that's a dumb question, or don't think you're ever going to learn now. Yeah, ask for the wisdom. I want to show you. I want to direct your lives. I want what's best for you. I'll gladly and freely give it to you. He gives us health and healing. He gives us forgiveness. And He gives us all the fruit of the Spirit, as the Spirit dwells in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's God's heart for us. That's what the Spirit wants to do as it dwells inside of us, bring to life within us. Jesus in John 15 says, no, maybe it's 14. Anyways, he says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. And you could say that for anything. My love I give to you, not as the world gives. My all of those things, my salvation, my favor, my blessing, I give to you, not as the world gives. It's not something you earn. It's not something you got to deserve or anything like that. He just wants to give it to you freely. The world gives things temporarily, right? And only if you fit the qualifications, only if the situations and the circumstances are right, you may have peace. But it could all fall apart tomorrow. You could be loved today, but boy, if you screw up or if you do something dumb, you might not be loved tomorrow. You could be real popular today, but you make the wrong comment on social media, you'll be blacklisted and you won't be a star or a celebrity anymore. And it can go, you know, just around in all of our lives that way. What God gives us through His Spirit is not conditional.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Whether you deserve it or not, whether you feel like it or not, it is given to us. So go on in this chapter then, 14 and 15. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he can't understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. Okay? The things of God, the things of the Spirit of God that he's doing, that he's teaching you in his heart, does not make sense to the rest of the world. It's a different world, the spiritual eyes versus the worldly eyes. They think it's crazy. You give a tenth of your income to the church? You Sunday mornings, you go to church, and you might even show up for Wednesday prayer meeting. That's crazy. You really think God listens to your prayers? Does it really make a difference? There's a lot of trouble in the world. Where's God? You guys are crazy. You guys are delusional. You're holding on to this crutch of Christianity, and that they don't understand it. Why would you give your money away? Why would you serve God? Why would you spend time in prayer? Why would you spend time in the Word when there's so much else to do? Why would you, all of those things, it just doesn't make sense. The people of the world cannot understand that. The Spirit reveals the truth to us, God's wisdom, His perspective. The world can't understand us, but we can understand the world. It's spiritually appraised. We see that they might be smiles and everything's going great, but we see the darkness they're living in. We see the hopelessness of their lives. We see the shallowness of what they're building their lives on. And how that can all crumble in a day when we have such a bigger, deeper, firmer foundation because of those things. So there again, nobody's maybe understands us, but we can understand again because of the Spirit of God who we are and who the world is that we're living in and what they need. So some takeaways from this lesson and from this scripture here. There's some good ones here. Number one, the Spirit reveals the truth to us. What is truth in this world of spin, in this world of so many voices and that? But He speaks the truth to us, His perspective. And again, it doesn't make sense. If you lose your life, you'll find it, he says. It's in dying that you'll live. It's in giving your life away that you'll find your life. The world cannot understand that, but that's what God calls us to. The world cannot understand that at all. But he gives us that truth and the wisdom. That's this, the Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of Truth. And there's just that inner witness again of that Spirit dwelling in us that can settle those things for us. The Spirit dwells in us, works from within. And this was a real revelation to me, something that really helped me in the walk with the Spirit. You know, we don't understand Spirit. We can't see it. We can't get our hands on it always. How does that work? And we hear the different stories at times of that. But the Spirit is actually dwelling in me. And again, we look at that. We have a physical body that feeds our soul, mind, will, and emotions, information from this world. We have a Spirit, and God's Spirit then can, not just my Spirit, but God's Spirit can dwell in me. And that's feeding information as well into my soul, into my thoughts, into my mind, into my will, into my emotions. That the world, I can't always explain, but it's very real. And again, the world can't understand it. Why are you walking around with a smile on your face? Why are you joyful? Because God loves me. I'm in his presence. And his presence is fullness of joy. And people, okay, I'm not talking to you any longer. That's a little crazy. And there's where I think a transformation, a help for me. If the Spirit is dwelling in me and speaking to me into my mind and stuff like that, so often I think we look for, the tendency is to look for the Spirit out here someplace that's going to speak to us. I've got to hear that voice. I've got to see that sign. I've got to have some miraculous, crazy, weird, mystical experience with him, and that's the Spirit talking to me. But no, if the Spirit is dwelling in me, my thoughts can become his thoughts. He can just speak to me in the quiet of my voice and give me the wisdom that I'm looking for, giving me the understanding that I need. And it doesn't have to be some big supernatural, cosmic, weird thing from outside, the writing in the clouds or the voice or the thunder or something like that. The Spirit dwelling in me is going to speak from within me. I'm not looking for, it doesn't come from outside. Spirit dwelling in me, his speaking to me and directing me is going to come from within. He's feeding that into my mind, will, and emotions. And I can begin to recognize that. Oh, that's the Spirit of God talking to me. That's not my wisdom. That's his transforming power. That's something that he's telling me. And that really, really helps. At least it has helped me to realize that as far as, people always talk, oh, the Spirit told me to do this. And I mean, your average Christian, Spirit never tells me to do anything. Well, yeah, he probably is. You're just not recognizing that that's him speaking to you. The little nudges, the little things in life. Boy, it worked out really well. I had on my list to call somebody on Monday. And it wasn't high on my list, and I was busy and getting distracted and getting behind on things. And I kept just kind of putting that off, and all of a sudden, just kind of had that inner nudge again. Why don't you call that person? Just stop what you're doing now. It's not going to be a long conversation. Call them. And so I did. And you know what? It was the perfect timing of that call. I could have put it off till the next day. The way I was going, that's probably what was going to happen. And that wasn't no voice from heaven saying that. There was just that small little voice again of the Spirit dwelling in me that said, hey, you were going to call that person today. Why don't you do it now? And that's just how this, I begin to see how the Spirit actually works within us. The indwelling Spirit transforms us from the inside out. And here I would want to say this, the Scripture are his building blocks and his tools. You know, you can have this great design of the castle that you're going to build, my little grandkids and stuff like that with their building blocks. They can maybe imagine this big thing, but unless they've got the building blocks, they can start putting them together. God can give you visions of the great things you're going to do or the great things this church is going to do, but you need the building blocks, you need the tools to do that, and that's going to come from Scripture. The Spirit and Scripture have to go hand in hand. They don't ever contradict each other. They never go there to do this. The Spirit uses Scripture to build this new life, this new heart within us. The Scripture uses us, Scripture to transform our lives, to renew us, restore us, reveal God to us. Scripture is neat because it's tangible and it's black and white. You know, I have all kinds of crazy thoughts flying through my head all the time, different feelings and that. But Scripture is black and white. It never changes. I can close this book and not read it for 20 years, and I'm going to open it up, and it's going to still say the exact same things. And so it's important to the fads of the world, the changes of the world, the different trends even within the church of, oh, this is what the church has got to do. Scripture is what you base things on because it does not change. It does not. Now, there is the adaptation and things like that. So the Spirit using Scripture, it becomes the anchor of our lives. This is what God has promised. This is what God has said. Doesn't matter what I'm feeling. Doesn't matter if I even understand it. God has said all of that. And it also becomes the ammunition of our lives to defend our faith, to speak to others. And we don't want to use it as bullets to shoot people down to that, but just the grace and the goodness. And then last, as far as takeaways for this, is the indwelling Spirit bears fruit. It changes us. It's changed me, my attitudes and actions. I am a different person than I was before I knew Christ. And I'm a different person than I was as a Christian from 30 years ago. Much more the fruit of the Spirit is much. I'm much more patient. I'm much more loving. I'm much more caring. And it's not that I've worked at those things. It's just the Spirit has brought that fruit into my life. And there is the proof of our salvation, is in this idea of the inward change, a new life and a new heart that we're experiencing. And we tend to sometimes look, well, the proof is supposed to be in the outward manifestations. Oh, you got to speak in tongues. You got to do miracles. You got to walk on water. You've got to do these big things. And then you know God is really with you. No, the proof is in just the changed heart. The difference that God makes. The love, the joy that you have. The last verse, maybe the not the last verse that we're going to look at, but the last verse in chapter 2 here makes this statement. But we have the mind of Christ. And we can have that mind of Christ. And next week we're going to talk about the fact that it says we have the mind of Christ. It does not say I have the mind of Christ. And there's a distinction there that is where we're going next week on that. But Christ does dwell in me, his Spirit, and I can know his thoughts. And again, it's just that inner witness that it just kind of almost comes naturally at some point in time. How he changes my thoughts, how he changes my desires, my inclinations, how he can speak to me, the discernment he can give me, the intuition that he can give me. Part of the work of the Spirit, part of the Spirit is your intuition. I just don't feel right. You know, something's wrong in this situation. Be careful or be cautious, or there's the person. Reach out to him. He's the one that's got what you need. Those messages can come from the Spirit, again, dwelling in you. And it doesn't have to be the voice of God. It can just be the thoughts that he's planting in your head and recognizing them as the Spirit of God. With that, you know, it just becomes, it almost becomes normal. Again, walking with him, the Spirit-filled, that born-again response. And it is born out of the fact of what God has done for me. He has given me grace. He has given me mercy that I don't deserve time after time. And I know that. I've experienced that. So why can't I extend that same grace and mercy to the people around me? The resources he's given me. How can you see a brother in need and turn away from him? How can you? No, not my problem or that. How can you see a need and not do it? You just can't do it, and it just becomes the God's response to you and the heart that He's given you. It's not no great thing you brag of. It's just, how could I not see a brother in need and stop and help him? To reach out to somebody, to encourage somebody, to bless somebody every chance I get. And that's not me. That was not my selfish personality before Christ. That's the work that the Spirit has done in my heart and life. John 6:33, we'll close with this. This is the last verse that I've got. It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. And that's where we are today. Here again, the Spirit is given, available to you if you've repented, if you've been born again. You can live in that, you can believe that, walk in that, and it gives you life. It gives you that fullness, the satisfaction that you're looking for, that you're needing. It gives you the power to consistently live that way. Not through your striving, not through your working, but just in yielding and letting Him have His way. And you grow in that. Begin to recognize His voice. Begin to act on His voice. Begin to trust that voice as He speaks to you. So we have Sunday afternoon questions. You'd be disappointed if we didn't. Maybe. Is Jesus and Him crucified the foundation you are building your life on? Is that where your hope is? Is that where your trust is? Is that the foundation of your life? Is Jesus died for me? I'm forgiven. I've got a new life in Him. And then describe a time when you feel you were led by the Spirit of God. Those would be interesting stories to hear, wouldn't it? So think of that and maybe come up with a list of different times. And again, it's not the lightning bolt or things like that. It's just times where God has spoken to you in the quiet or in your thoughts and directed you. And then what changes have you seen in your life since believing in Christ? That's the real proof. It's not the outward things. It's not the signs and miracles or things like that that you might do. It's the changed life, the changed heart. And do you recognize that I am a different person? I'm a new person in Christ. I can be in Christ. His Spirit dwells in me and gives me the power that I need because of that faith in Him. So let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You. Thank You for the gift of salvation. We would be lost. We would be hopeless. We'd be dead in our guilt and shame. The price that we could not pay. So thank You for Your gift of salvation, sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, that we can be forgiven, set free, and receive this new life. We thank You for the gift of the Spirit that dwells inside of us, that it just becomes a part of our lives, a new presence there, Lord, the sweetness, the joy of all of those things. And Lord, they're freely given. Help us to embrace them. Help us to believe. Give us that faith, Lord, that gift of knowing and seeing those things, and then help us to walk in the fullness of that Spirit. In the Spirit, there's life that the world does not know. So, Lord, help us to go forward in the fullness of all of that. We do pray all of these things then in Jesus' name, and that You would be honored and glorified then, Lord. In Jesus' name, we can have the mind of Christ. Amen.